Welcome to Building Passive Income, the podcast for professionals, entrepreneurs, and investors who want to build wealth, diversify beyond Wall Street, and create true financial freedom through passive commercial real estate investing. I'm Wayne Courageous III, founding and managing principal of CREI Partners, a leading commercial real estate company. I created CREI Colin, an AI-powered resource to serve as your investor education guide, built on the insights and experience we've developed at CREI Partners. CREI Colin is here to educate you through passive investing and tax strategy topics to help your journey in passive investing. Just a quick disclaimer, this podcast and CREI Colin is for educational purposes only and is not legal, tax, or investment advice. Always consult with your attorney, CPA, and financial advisor before making any investment decisions. I've spent nearly two decades helping investors understand the power of commercial real estate, from multifamily to storage to retail. Each episode is under 15 minutes, simple to follow, and packed with insights to help you grow your income and protect your capital without becoming a landlord. If you're ready to learn quickly and invest smarter, you're in the right place. Welcome to Building Passive Income. Let's build wealth together. Here's CREI Colin.
Welcome back to Building Passive Income. I'm CREI Colin. Yesterday, we covered the difference between passive and active income and how the IRS treats rental real estate as a passive activity subject to passive loss limitations. Today, we're diving deep into real estate professional status, one of the most significant tax classifications available to real estate investors, but also one of the most misunderstood. Real estate professional status allows you to treat rental real estate losses as non-passive, potentially allowing those losses to offset W-2 income and other active income. For high-income investors with significant rental losses from depreciation, this can create substantial tax savings. But the requirements are strict, the documentation burden is significant, and not everyone should pursue this status. Today, I'm going to explain what real estate professional status is, the specific requirements you must meet, the benefits it provides, and whether it makes sense for your situation. Let's start with what real estate professional status is and why it exists. As we discussed yesterday, rental real estate is generally treated as a passive activity. Passive losses can only offset passive income. They can't offset W-2 wages or other active income. However, Congress recognized that some taxpayers work full-time in real estate and shouldn't be subject to passive loss limitations. The real estate professional rules were created to allow full-time real estate professionals to treat their rental activities as non-passive if they meet specific requirements. If you qualify as a real estate professional and materially participate in your rental activities, your rental income and losses are treated as non-passive. This means rental losses can potentially offset W-2 income, business income, and other active income, subject to other tax rules like at-risk and basis limitations. Now let's talk about the specific requirements to qualify as a real estate professional. There are two main requirements, and you must meet both. Requirement 1. More than half of the personal services you perform in all trades or businesses during the year must be performed in real property trades or businesses in which you materially participate. Requirement 2. You must perform more than 750 hours of services during the year in real property trades or businesses in which you materially participate. Both requirements must be met in the same tax year. Let's break down what each requirement means. First, let's talk about real property trades or businesses. Real property trades or businesses include real estate development, redevelopment, construction, reconstruction, acquisition, conversion, rental, operation, management, leasing, or brokerage. Essentially, any business involving real property qualifies. This includes rental property ownership and management, property management for others, real estate brokerage, real estate development and construction, and house flipping. Importantly, the time you spend must be in a real property trade or business in which you materially participate. We'll talk about material participation in a moment. Now let's talk about the more than half requirement. You must spend more than 50% of your total working time in real property trades or businesses. This means if you work a full-time W-2 job for 2,000 hours per year, you would need to spend more than 2,000 hours in real property trades or businesses to meet this requirement. For most people with full-time jobs outside of real estate, this requirement is impossible to meet. You simply can't work full-time in another field and also spend more than half your time in real estate. This is why real estate professional status is most commonly used by one spouse in a married couple, where one spouse works full-time outside of real estate and the other spouse works full-time in real estate. Now let's talk about the 750-hour requirement. You must perform more than 750 hours of services during the year in real property trades or businesses in which you materially participate. 750 hours is approximately 14.4 hours per week for 52 weeks, or about 62.5 hours per month. This time must be spent on real property activities: managing properties, showing properties, meeting with tenants, coordinating repairs, bookkeeping for rental properties, and acquisition analysis for properties you actively own or are pursuing. Time spent on passive investment activities: reviewing financial statements without active involvement, attending passive investor meetings for syndications, or general investment education, usually does not count toward the 750 hours. The IRS expects you to keep contemporaneous records of your time. You should track your hours as you go, not reconstruct them at year end. Now let's talk about material participation. Even if you meet the two requirements to be a real estate professional, you must also materially participate in each rental real estate activity for that activity to be non-passive. Remember the 7 material participation tests we discussed yesterday? You must meet at least one of those tests for each rental activity. The most common test is the 500-hour test. You participate in the activity for more than 500 hours during the year. Here's where it gets tricky. Each rental property is generally considered a separate activity, unless you make a grouping election. If you own 5 rental properties and don't make a grouping election, you would need to spend more than 500 hours on each property individually for it to be non-passive. This is nearly impossible for most investors. 500 hours per property is about 10 hours per week per property. This is why the grouping election is so important for real estate professionals. The IRS allows real estate professionals to elect to treat all of their rental real estate activities as a single activity for purposes of the material participation tests. With this election, you can aggregate all the time you spend across all rental properties. If you spend 600 hours total across 5 properties, you meet the 500-hour test for the grouped activity. The election is generally made through a statement attached to a timely filed return for the first year you qualify as a real estate professional, or the first year you acquire rental property after qualifying. The election is binding for all future years unless there's a material change in facts and circumstances. This election is critical. Without it, real estate professional status provides little benefit for most rental property investors. Now let's talk about married couples and real estate professional status. For married couples filing jointly, only one spouse needs to qualify as a real estate professional. However, the hours of both spouses cannot be combined to meet the requirements. Each spouse's hours are counted separately. This creates a common planning strategy. One spouse works full-time outside of real estate, and the other spouse works full-time in real estate and qualifies as a real estate professional. The real estate professional spouse must still meet both requirements individually. More than half of their personal services in real property trades or businesses, and more than 750 hours. And they must materially participate in the rental activities, which typically means making the grouping election and spending more than 500 hours across all rental properties. Now let's talk about what counts as qualifying time. Qualifying time includes time spent on property management activities: showing properties, meeting with tenants, coordinating repairs and maintenance, bookkeeping and financial management for properties, property inspections, researching and analyzing potential acquisitions for properties you actively own or are pursuing, and time spent on real estate development, construction, or brokerage if you're involved in those activities. Time that generally doesn't count includes time spent as an investor: reviewing financial statements without active involvement, attending passive investor meetings for syndications, general real estate education not related to your specific properties, and time spent on financing activities, unless you're actively involved in the business. The key is that the time must be spent on real property trades or businesses in which you materially participate, not passive investment activities. Now let's talk about documentation. The IRS expects contemporaneous records of your time. This means tracking your hours as you go, not reconstructing them at year end. Use time tracking software, calendars, or logs to document your activities. Record the date, the property or activity, the time spent, and a description of what you did. This documentation is critical if you're audited. The IRS frequently scrutinizes real estate professional status claims, and inadequate documentation can result in disallowed losses. Now let's talk about the benefits of real estate professional status. The primary benefit is that rental losses become non-passive and can potentially offset W-2 income, business income, and other active income. For high-income investors with significant depreciation deductions, this can create substantial tax savings. Let me give you an example. Let's say one spouse earns $200,000 in W-2 income, and the other spouse qualifies as a real estate professional. You own several rental properties that generate $100,000 in rental income, but have $150,000 in expenses, including depreciation, creating a $50,000 rental loss. Without real estate professional status, this $50,000 loss is passive and suspended. It can't offset the W-2 income. With real estate professional status and material participation, the $50,000 loss is non-passive and can offset the W-2 income, reducing your taxable income from $200,000 to $150,000. This could reduce federal income taxes by approximately $12,000, plus state income tax savings. The second benefit is avoiding the 3.8% net investment income tax. Rental income is generally subject to the NIIT for high-income taxpayers. But if you qualify as a real estate professional and materially participate, your rental income is not considered investment income and is not subject to the NIIT. For investors with substantial rental income, this can save thousands of dollars per year. Now let's talk about who should consider real estate professional status. Real estate professional status makes sense if you or your spouse can dedicate full-time or near full-time hours to real estate. You have significant rental losses from depreciation that are currently suspended. You have W-2 or other active income that the losses could offset. And you're willing to maintain detailed time tracking records. Real estate professional status generally doesn't make sense if both spouses work full-time outside of real estate. You don't have significant suspended passive losses. You don't have active income to offset, or you're not willing to maintain detailed documentation. Let me share some common mistakes investors make with real estate professional status. First, claiming real estate professional status without meeting the requirements. The IRS frequently audits these claims, and inadequate documentation results in disallowed losses and potential penalties. Second, not making the grouping election. Without this election, you must materially participate in each property individually, which is nearly impossible. Third, not keeping contemporaneous time records. Reconstructing time at year end is not adequate documentation. Fourth, counting time that doesn't qualify. Passive investment activities, general education, or time spent on properties you don't materially participate in. Fifth, both spouses working full-time outside of real estate and expecting to qualify. You can't meet the more than half requirement if you work full-time in another field. Sixth, not working with a qualified CPA who understands the requirements and can help you document and defend your status. Our approach to real estate professional status is conservative and well-documented. We evaluated whether real estate professional status made sense for our situation based on our time availability, suspended losses, and potential tax savings. We maintain detailed time tracking records using software that logs our activities, time spent, and property or project involved. We made the grouping election to treat all rental properties as a single activity for material participation purposes. We work with a qualified CPA who helps us evaluate and document compliance with requirements. And we're prepared to defend our status if audited, with contemporaneous records and clear documentation of how we meet each requirement. Let me close with this. Real estate professional status is a powerful tax benefit, but it's not for everyone. The requirements are strict. More than half of your working time in real property trades or businesses, more than 750 hours per year, and material participation in rental activities. The documentation burden is significant. You must keep contemporaneous time records and be prepared to defend your status if audited. But for those who qualify, the benefits can be substantial. Rental losses can offset active income, and rental income avoids the 3.8% net investment income tax. Evaluate whether you can realistically meet the requirements. If you can, maintain detailed documentation and work with qualified tax professionals. If you can't meet the requirements, don't try to force it. the risk of audit and disallowed losses isn't worth it. Tomorrow, we're talking about self-employment tax and what real estate investors need to know about when rental income is subject to self-employment tax and when it's not. Thanks for listening. I'm CREI Colin. Let's keep building passive income together.
Thanks for tuning in to Building Passive Income. Today's episode helped shift your mindset or gave you a new tool to grow your wealth. Do us a favor and like, subscribe, and share this podcast with someone you care about. Want to go deeper? Join our free passive investor coaching program at passiveinvestorcoaching.com. It's the perfect next step to start building wealth through commercial real estate the right way. Remember, financial freedom isn't a dream, it's a decision, and it starts with building passive income. We'll see you in the next episode.